This is the old Trailblazer broadcast, and this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis coming back with another message from God's Word. And we're bringing you a series of studies on the general theme, the sovereignty of God. And we're looking at the study this morning on God's choice in salvation. Did you know God chooses those of us whom He saved? That's right. He says you are a chosen vessel, my friend. And that's right. He does as He pleases. He does exactly as He pleases. The doctrine of the sovereignty of God is the oldest and basic truth of God's Word. That's right, my friend, it is. Listen now. We're looking at God's choice in salvation. Let's notice in another place what the effect of this doctrine of God's sovereignty and election is upon the sinner. Let's see what the effect of it is. First, what effect will it have upon the sinner who is awakened to the fact that he's lost? Every soul who ever comes to know the Lord is awakened to his lost condition. Now, I know that that's not popular. I know that that's cutting across a new ground, maybe. You say, folks, Pastor, what is an awakened sinner? What is Holy Spirit conviction? Well, let me just give you a brief statement, my friend. God, in his sovereign grace, sovereign mercy, has elected a number that no man can number, and the Holy Spirit calls out that number. We don't know who they are. I don't know who God's elect are, and you don't either. But the Holy Spirit calls out, broods over that heart, comes to that heart. You may be in a high society. You may be in a gutter on the street. You may be in a bar room, a honky-tonk. You may be in the pulpit. But if you're a lost individual, the Holy Spirit, if you're one of God's, He comes before you, probing your heart, shining the light of the gospel into your heart. That's right. Shining the light in there. And day by day, little bit by little bit, He opens that heart. And that's what we call Holy Spirit conviction. It's the Holy Spirit convicting you, convincing you that you're lost. Then He convicts you and convinces you that you're a sinner, that you have no right to be saved, that you have no grace, that you're totally depraved. And that's what we call an awakened sinner, that individual who's come to see that he has no goodness of his own, has no merit with God. Do you have any merit with God, my friend? On what basis do you have? No, listen now. The awakened sinner, next to the glorious doctrine of the cross of Christ, which this Bible truth, God's elective grace, is perhaps the most blessed and most comforting. That's right. That's right. Now, let me go back and read that again and make sure you understand it. First, what effect will it have upon the sinner who is awakened to the fact that he's lost? To the awakened sinner, next to the glorious doctrine of the cross of Christ, this Bible truth, the sovereignty of God, God's elective grace, is perhaps the most blessed and most comforting doctrine of God's Word. This truth applied to the heart of an awakened sinner by the Holy Spirit strikes death once and for all to the efforts that sinner puts forth trying to save himself. My friend, the object of the gospel preaching is to make men feel that they have no power of their own to slay them that at the foot of the cross, at the foot of God's throne. If under the preaching of the gospel of Christ, I can convince you through the Holy Spirit that you cannot save yourself, if I can show you that your prayers and tears can never save you, if I can convince you that you must be born from above, then you're on the road to salvation. God said, I kill and I make alive. And when a sinner is slain by the eternal Spirit of God, the work is half done. Again, God said, I wound and I healed. When a man is wounded by the flaming sword of the Lord Jesus Christ, that salvation is begun in that heart. Get this truth now. Sit up and listen. Would you perk up your ears and listen? If I set a sinner to labor after eternal life by his own works, by doing good or saying his prayers or giving up something, whether it's during Lent or any other season, then I'm not a true minister of Christ, but an ambassador of hell. If I teach a sinner that there is one particle of goodness in him which he must polish and educate and perfect to the end that he might be saved, then I'm a teacher of the beggarly elements of the law, and not a minister of the gospel of the grace of Christ. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy, according to Romans 9:16. When a poor old sinner is weaned from self and totally delivered, you know what being weaned is, my friend? You ever live out on the farm where we wean the calves? What do they do? What do they do? We take them away from the cow little bit by little bit till they're weaned, till they're totally delivered from looking to their mother cow there. That's right. And when the sinner is totally weaned, totally delivered from looking to his flesh for help, either by trying to do something or by just sitting down waiting on God, there now is hope. When you are weaned from all of your beggarly elements of the world, whether it be your self-righteousness, so-called, whether it be your good work, so-called, whether it be your giving of good gifts to some church, or whether it be your confessional before the priest or the pope, all of those things are beggarly elements. As long as you're depending on those things, my friend, maybe it's your church membership. Maybe you went down the aisle one day and shook the pastor's hand. He told you that you were saved. That's right, my friend. He may have told you that. But listen, that's not salvation. Not at all. But listen, you may be depending on baptism. You may have been baptized in some creek or pond, or maybe in the baptismal there in the church. That doesn't do you one whit of good, my friend. Are you depending on that? It's not of him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. When a sinner is weaned from all of those things, there now is hope. We are all prisoners condemned to die. God is sovereign and has a right to pardon those of us whom he pleases. I know I had no right or reason to expect to be delivered, but I rejoice in the fact that he did save me one day. When I realized that my salvation depended entirely on the will of God, and that God had awakened me to the fact that I was lost, and I believed that he'd begun a good work in my heart, that's right, I took courage. Could I encourage your heart, sinner? Could I just perk your ears up and listen this morning? Has the Lord dealt with your heart any? No, you can't put the Lord in a mold. I don't do that, my friend. The Lord moves in mysterious ways. But listen, every sinner has to come by the way of the cross. Did you know that? Every sinner has to come. If you never see yourself as a sinner, you never come to know the Lord. How would you do if you went to heaven and never had been broken your old will? I told someone that not long ago they'd take a wheelbarrow and a pickaxe and start picking up the golden streets of heaven, thinking he's going to run off with it somewhere. But no, that old will has to be broken. Did you know those things won't mount to a snap of your fingers in heaven? It won't matter if the streets are gold or platinum or silver or precious jewels and stones or diamonds. It won't make a bit of difference. You know who we going to see? Our Lord. We're going to see the Lord who died for us. Did Christ die for you, my friend? Do you know him as your Savior? Listen. No, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of redemption. That's right. If the Lord has begun a work in your heart, don't despair, my friend. Don't neglect it, though. Don't run off and neglect it. Don't say, oh, well, now the Lord's awakened me. I'll just sit here till he saves me, and you just sit there and go to hell. That's right. Did you know the Bible says to strive to enter in? Strive. Strive, my friend. He also says, come. Have you ever come to Christ? We want to call your attention now to a scripture found in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1:27. Listen to this verse. But God has chosen a foolish thing. Now, my friend, that's me. That's the old trailblazer this morning, just a foolish thing. Just a bump on the stump, my friend. One day, the Lord chose me. Just an old bump. And he says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak thing. There I am again, folks. Weak as water. The weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things, there I am again, my friend, just an old base thing, just at the bottom, just at the low place. And the things which are despised, there's God's child again, despised by the world, despised by his folks, despised by his family. Oh, they may love you to your face, but when you turn around, they say that old crackpot don't know what he's talking about being a lost sinner. Who ever heard such a thing? Said, I'm saved, and I never heard such a thing as being a lost sinner. You're on the road to hell if you've never been a lost sinner. You better take your place before the Lord as a lost sinner one day. And listen. He says, hath God chosen all of these things? That's right. The foolish things, the weak things, the base things, those things which are despised. God chose those things to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh, now listen, this is the heart of this message, my friend, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know, one of the things that we suffer from in this religious world today more than anything else, and that there's no cure for it except the new birth, that's proud flesh. You ever see proud flesh, my friend? You get your finger gets infected, and that old proud flesh will come out from under your fingernail. That's what we have in the ministry today. In the religious world, just proud flesh. Proud of who you are. Proud of your Easter hat there cocked on the side of your head. Come to church once or twice a year on Easter Sunday, and whatever day you come, proud as a peacock, put on all the long pearls, white string of pearls, and all of those things, and come to church. Proud, but the rest of the year out living in sin. My friend, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Then there's proud of being a deacon, and proud of being a elder, and proud of being a choir leader, and proud of being a piano player. But listen, what the Bible said? That no flesh should glory. The world would like to suppose that God makes his selection or his choice from the ranks of the wealthy, the socially elite, and educated. We're going to look at those things in our next message. We're running out of time now. And so that New Testament Christianity might win the world's approval, but it never will. Did you know that God's child has never been approved by the world? They might brag on you to your face, but when you turned around, if the gospel has offended them, if your testimony has offended them, then they tell you, they call you what you are, crackpot. That's right, my friend, but you know what? Someone called the pastor a fool one day, and he said, well, let me be a fool for Christ's sake. So I say that this morning. You think I'm a crackpot? Let me be a crackpot for Christ. But if your Lord ever brings you down, you see that you're a crackpot too. You see that you're an old ignoramus like I am. You see that you're one of the base things of the world. You see like old Jacob, just a worm. Did you know the word Jacob means worm? You go look it up in your dictionary, in your study Bible. Go look it up. Old Jacob was nothing but a worm. Just a worm of the dust, my friend. Oh, that's right. That's right. I heard a story one time about this old Indian chief that the Lord had saved. And he was outside one day. A group of them was outside cleaning up and burning around the place where they were staying. And the fire began to get hot, and a little worm began to creep out of the fire. Got warm down there, and he come to the top of the pile. And the old chief looked over and picked him off of the fire with his hand. He said, me worm, me worm, me worm. That's what God's child is. Just a worm of the dust, my friend. Nothing to be proud of except grace. No flesh to glory in God's presence. How can a worm be proud? How can anything be proud except by the grace of God? Oh, my friend, there'll be no pride in heaven. No, you won't wear those fancy clothes in heaven. You won't have on those large diamond rings in heaven. All of that'll be gone by the wayside. I wish the Lord would take hold of some of your heart. Tear that thing out of your heart, that old damnable pride. Oh, my friend, God's child takes a low place. Did you know that? Did you know one of the things that ever God's child prays for is a low place? I pray daily for the low place. Give me the low place, Lord. Let me be the low place. I don't want the high place. I'd 100 times rather someone else be sitting here bringing this message than me, and I'd be out there on the pew praying for them. Lord, give him grace. Lord, give him something to say. Lord, bless that word. That's what I like to do, just to take the low place. But the Lord put me here, and I believe the Lord will leave me here as long as he will, and I'll go wherever he leads me. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Is that your theme? Because I'm just a worm of the dust, depending upon God's grace, my friend, to for everything that I ever get and ever hope to have. And I just wish you'd write me, Albert Pendarvis. Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the old trailblazer at Radio Missions.
Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.